live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, an infectious disease specialist says Donegal needs more help to get COVID-19 under control. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach says he would like to see the country stay in level 3 restrictions until a vaccine can be deployed. The Foreign Affairs Minister has hit out at the British government over Brexit negotiations. A Letterkenny councillor is urging parents in the Windmillview, Killylaston areas to be vigilant after receiving a number of calls from motorists whose cars have been damaged. And a Derry dog owner has received a custodial sentence and has been banned from keeping animals for life following a successful prosecution by Derry City and Strabane District Council. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Professor Sam McConkie says Donegal needs more help to get COVID-19 under control. His comments come as the country prepares to move to level 3 restrictions tomorrow. Donegal remains the county with the highest number of COVID hospitalisations, with 43 people being treated for the virus at Letterkenny University Hospital as of last night. Meanwhile, the county also has the highest 14-day COVID incidence rate, with just under 220 cases per 100,000 people against a national average of 94. Professor McConkie told today's 9 till noon show that special help needs to be given to Donegal to drive the number of cases down.
In Leitrim, for example, which is just a border with Donegal, the only county in the 25 that has a border with Donegal is actually 10 times lower rates of COVID than Donegal per head of population. So Leitrim is really controlled this. They've got it down. In Donegal, we're still at the stage of getting it down, and we've not really succeeded in getting the numbers down. But the rest of Ireland has dramatically brought it down. Leitrim, to the extent of almost having no cases for a week. So there's very different things happening in Donegal. Not only Donegal, but also Limerick and Louth, so two other counties where there's the same problem. And I would like to see that those of us in, you know, the other 22 counties are really helping both with staff and resources and material and almost processes to help businesses transform each business to make it a COVID-safe place so their staff don't catch it, their clients don't catch it, and hospitals and nursing homes don't end up with outbreaks. So I feel there's a lot could be done at national level, and what we need is national solidarity to help, not to victimise people in Donegal, but to actually help them.
Well, the Taoiseach just says he would like to see the country stay in level 3 restrictions until a vaccine can be deployed. While non-essential shops are allowed to reopen tomorrow under level 5 restrictions end. Intercounty travel will then be permitted from December the 18th, raising fears of further lockdowns in January if the number of cases rise again. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says it's a tribute to the work and commitment of Irish people that the country can start to reopen.
The best thing in some ways for me is that 100,000, 150,000 people are going to go back to work over the next few weeks, and people will be able to have some sort of a normal Christmas, you know, see friends, family, go out for dinner, Christmas shopping, all those things are going to happen. Won't be a normal Christmas, but it won't be a lockdown Christmas either.
In the north, another 10 COVID-related deaths have been reported. There have been 290 new cases of the virus recorded in the last 24 hours. The death toll in Northern Ireland now stands at 996, when more than 52,000 people have tested positive for the virus since the start of the pandemic. The Foreign Affairs Minister has hit out at the British government over Brexit negotiations. Talks are resuming today, with fisheries highlighted as one of the main stumbling blocks. Simon Coveney believes this is a deliberate negotiating tactic from the UK to try and separate fishing from the rest of the talks. But Minister Coveney says access to territorial waters is not as simple as that.
The truth also is that fish swim between sovereign territories. You know, all the fish that are caught in British waters aren't British fish, you know, labelled British. I mean, the truth is that most of the mackerel that are caught off the west coast of Scotland, which is a big mackerel fishery, very, very important for Irish interests, like most of those fish are actually born off the coast of West Cork and Clare.
Meanwhile, the director of Killybegs company Atlantic Treasure says looking towards the future with Brexit hurtling down the tracks, while plans are in place, there is little that can be done in terms of preparing business until further details are confirmed. The company, which produces seafood fresh from the waters of Killybegs, has been announced as a finalist in the SFA National Small Business Awards 2021 in both the food and drink and sustainability categories. Michael O'Donnell says the awards highlight the importance of the fishing industry in Donegal, but says in terms of Brexit, fish quotas are a particular concern for the industry.
We're delighted, I suppose, everybody this year had kind of a a strange year with business and nobody knew what was going on. So to get this recognition is a good thing, and I suppose it's positive towards the end of the year, coming into the new year now. The announcement, I suppose, the final will be in March 2021. So to highlight, I suppose, the fishing industry in Donegal is kind of, it's always sometimes bad news stories, but now to get some good news stories up here as well is always needed too.
And in terms of looking towards the future, we know that Brexit is ahead of us. Have you any plans in place?
I think we all work on plans together. You know, the processors as a collective, and then we work along with BIM. They've been a great help with mentoring and things to try and make sure that you're as well prepared as you can be. But I suppose with Brexit, it's very hard to tell until the final whistle, so to speak, to see what is exactly going to happen. You know, it could affect the quotas is a big problem or a big issue, you know, for us. And everybody's nervous around it, you know what I mean? But until it happens, there's nothing we can do. We can just prepare ourselves best we can. And that's to do with, you know, purchasing in product, purchasing in packaging, things like that. And then obviously shipping will be a big thing as well. But we've been used to for years having to do paperwork for countries, you know, outside the EU and things like that. So it'll just be a little bit of a learning curve, but at the same time, it's nothing that we haven't seen before. But that, I suppose, is the exporting side of it. But I suppose the main issue would be the quotas and everything. So they'll be working, well, they are working away, I suppose, Minister McConnellog and them at the moment, trying to get the best deal they can, you know.
A Letterkenny councillor is urging parents in the Windmillview, Killyleston areas to be vigilant after receiving a number of calls from motorists whose cars have been damaged. Councillor Jerry McMonagle says young people have been congregating at a site cleared for social housing, throwing mud and stones at passing cars. He says in the long term, more community facilities are needed, but in the short term, the council must secure the area. He also says parents have a responsibility.
What I'm saying is just asking parents in the area just to keep an eye out to where their children are playing in evening times or what they're doing, just to be mindful that, you know, this could cause a very serious accident. And one of the vehicles, a van, the window was broke, and only the driver was a fairly competent driver that stopped him, and with no other damage done to the van. It's something that we as parents need to be mindful of all the time, where our children are at.
That's an area of Letterkenny that's growing. You'll be looking, obviously, for a policing response and for an official response, but also I'm sure you're looking for a community response and part of that response to be developing more facilities there.
Yeah, and for a long time now I've been raising the issues in that area that there is no type of facilities as such, and most young teenagers are just forced to congregate at corners and stand at the side of the road. I know the Gardaí are currently investigating this latest act of antisocial behaviour, but that's something we'll be pushing the council at all the time, as they provide more community facilities in the area. They're going to be building 11 social housing apartments shortly in the area, and I asked them at the time to provide for social amenities in that area. But the council have a role to play here now, because while they've cleared the site, and that's very much welcome, I think now what they should do is fence the site off until such times as the building commences.
The Education Minister has acknowledged the level of stress experienced by Leaving Certificate students. It follows a report from the OECD that labelled the state exam as too rigid and narrow. The study also suggested the points system generates high levels of stress and anxiety among students and their families. Minister Norma Foley, though, insists the report also highlights the strengths of the Irish education system.
There's also the view, I suppose, that in terms of Ireland and its education status, we're one of the most high-performing education systems in the OECD. But in terms of any shortcomings that they find, absolutely we would accept that every year Leaving Certificate students, indeed Junior Certificate students, experience stress.
Funding for Buncrana Leisure Centre has been officially ring-fenced today as Donegal County Council adopted its capital budget. The Council's three-year capital programme committed to continue to progress the delivery of the project, with architects and consultants already appointed. Plans will see the demolition of the existing building, which has been lying idle for over 5 years, and the construction of a new facility on the existing site. Local councillor Jack Murray says this is a very positive day and is hopeful work can begin in the near future.
I think it's a very, very positive day for all of those who want to see Buncrana Leisure Centre up and running again as a state-of-the-art facility for the people of Inishowen. The council today have unanimously stated that it's a primary objective of the council to deliver leisure centres across Donegal, and of course Inishowen is the biggest area without one at the minute. And it's also coincided with the capital budget being brought forward to the council today, where you've ring-fenced money to move forward with this project. And I think that can only be welcomed.
And indeed, you mentioned that there's been children that have gone through school without even getting swimming lessons, so this will be welcome for future generations.
Yeah, of course, the Leisure Centre is located on the campus of Scolwara, the school I went to myself, and I just think the thought that more than 5 years now that that's been closed, that's an entire school cycle for children now going through there without ever having the opportunity to use that swimming pool. And I think just that's a crying shame, and I think we need to get this Leisure Centre opened as soon as possible so that no children miss out on that opportunity to learn such an important life skill again.
And what's the next step now?
Next step, now we've appointed the architects and consultants. They'll come back with ring fence money for that. They'll come back with a design. There'll be a proposal for funding put forward to this council. And given the unanimous support that we've received today, I would expect that gets progressed as soon as possible. And hopefully soon we'll see diggers arriving in Mungrana to build a top-class state-of-the-art facility that our people deserve.
The British government is expected to announce its next move over the murder of Belfast solicitor Pat Finucane. It's facing calls for a full inquiry into Mr. Finucane's death after he was killed by loyalist paramilitaries in 1989. The UK Supreme Court found the matter had not been effectively investigated, while former Prime Minister David Cameron admitted state collusion was involved. SDLP leader and Foyle MP Colm Eastwood says if there is not a public inquiry into Mr. Finucane's death, it will be telling.
20 years ago, the British government promised a full public inquiry into Pat Finucane's murder. They still have not delivered. Today is an opportunity to put that right. They have a legal and moral obligation to grant that inquiry. If they don't do it, it will tell us all that we need to know about the British government's commitment to truth and reconciliation.
A Derry dog owner has received a custodial sentence and has been banned from keeping animals for life following a successful prosecution by Derry City and Strabane District Council. Kerry Ogilby of Great James Street was sentenced at Derry Magistrates Court after previously being convicted in May of last year for abandoning and causing unnecessary suffering to her dog in December 2017. Greg Hughes has more.
Animal welfare officers entered the defendant's property and found a grey and white Shih Tzu type male dog locked inside in a small bathroom with no access to food or water. The dog's hip bones and ribs could be clearly felt through its thick coat, and it was seized by animal welfare officers on recommendation of the council instructed vet. The dog was taken to the animal welfare care and collection provider where it received veterinary checks and treatment. The dog was eventually signed over by the animal owner and successfully rehomed. District Judge Bonnie McElhome imposed a 6-month sentence on each charge, which has already been served on remand. Ms. Ogilby has been disqualified for life from keeping or caring for any animals in any manner and was ordered to pay costs totalling £700.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michaelmurphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. Fin Harps have confirmed that Mark Tumlin has re-signed with the club ahead of the 2021 season. The midfielder arrived in Ballybuffet on loan in the summer of 2017 from rivals Derry City and has remained at the club ever since. Tumlin missed the entire 2020 campaign after rupturing cruciate ligaments in a pre-season friendly against GCD at the end of January. Tumlin says he's hoping the worst is behind him. It was a very tough year. I've worked really hard to get myself back and I can't wait to be out on the pitch again. Sligo Rovers and Republic of Ireland under 21 international Ed McGuinty has signed a new 2-year contract to stay at the showgrounds for 2021 and 2022. McGuinty, who has strong South Donegal connections, played every second of Sligo's 21 matches this year and was a major part of the club's fourth place finish in the league. The 21-year-old made his senior debut in 2017. Former Celtic striker Andy Walker expects that Neil Lennon to be sacked as the club's manager. They were knocked out of the Scottish League Cup by Ross County yesterday and are 11 points behind Rangers in the Premiership. But Walker says Lennon doesn't deserve the protest that took place outside Celtic Park last night.
I don't think he'll survive as a Celtic manager, but Neil Lennon has been demonised by far too many Scottish football supporters over the last number of years. This was a guy who was attacked as a Celtic manager at Tynecastle not so long ago. He's been demonised by fans of other clubs.
Leicester City can move level on points with Spurs and Liverpool at the top if they get the better of Fulham in the 5:30 kickoff in the Premier League this evening. Ahead of a tough test at Leicester, Fulham boss Scott Parker says they need to work on their penalties if they're to stay in the Premier League. His side have missed 3 spot kicks this season. Parker feels those spurned opportunities could be crucial by the end of the campaign.
There's no denying the fact that, you know, there has been a little bit of an issue here, because you look at them penalties, if they go in, they would have contributed to maybe 5 points you could have looked at. So certainly there is something here what we need to look at, and it is something we're doing.
The other game tonight starts at 8 o'clock. West Ham can climb into the top half of the table with a victory at home to Aston Villa. Edison Cavani has apologised for a racially insensitive Instagram post. The Manchester United striker made the social media misstep after his brace secured a 3-2-1 away to Southampton. Cavani says he was using an affectionate greeting and is completely opposed to racism. His club have backed him, but the Uruguayan is still set to face an FA investigation. Wolves have confirmed that striker Raul Jimenez suffered a fractured skull during yesterday's 2-1-1 against Arsenal. The Mexican international was injured after a sickening clash of heads with Arsenal's David Luiz in the opening half. Wolves say he underwent surgery last night and is currently comfortable in hospital. Republic of Ireland manager Vera Pugh has headed out at UEFA for the delay in getting her squad's COVID-19 test results. The Irish players and staff were tested yesterday morning ahead of tomorrow's must-win European Championship qualifier against Germany. The nearest UEFA-approved lab is in the UK, and it's understood that results won't be available until after the last training session tonight. Pugh is definitely without Leanne Kiernan for tomorrow's game in Tala. The West Ham forward has a hamstring injury. The government will allow full county panels to attend the remaining games in the All-Ireland Championships. Up to now, matchday panels have been restricted to no more than 26 players and 12 backroom team members. Minister of State for Sport, Jack Chambers, has confirmed today that the government are relaxing these rules. Limerick and Waterford hurling managers John Keely and Liam Cahill, Mayo men's football manager James Horan, and manager of the Dublin women's team, Mick Bohan, were all critical of the restrictions on panel numbers in recent weeks. To rallying, Derry's Callum Devine picked up his first podium of the ERC at the weekend. Devine and co-driver James Fulton took their Hyundai i20R5 home third at the Canaries Rally. They finished just over two minutes down on the winner and a minute down on second placed crew, which was the championship winner for the season, Oliver Solberg. Devine's car is run by Letterkenny Rally Preparations Company, PCRS, under Philip Case and backed by Motorsport Ireland. Formula One driver Romain Grosjean is expected to be discharged from hospital tomorrow. The Frenchman suffered a horrific crash in yesterday's Bahrain Grand Prix when his car pierced a barrier, split in half and burst into flames. Despite the impact and being in the fire for 20 seconds, Grosjean only suffered burns to the back of his hands. His Haas team say treatment of those injuries is going well. Finally, in rugby, Ulster and Munster will hope to maintain their 100% starts to the Pro 14 season tonight. Conference B leaders Munster host Zebre at Thomond Park. Ulster are away to Edinburgh in a repeat of last season's semi-final. Both those games kick off at 8:15. That's your sport for today, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news. A man accused of murdering 3 people in South Dublin has appeared in court after being charged with the alleged crimes over the weekend. The man, who's in his 30s, can't be identified due to reporting restrictions. Court's correspondent Frank Greeny has more.
The man is accused of murdering a woman and 2 children in South Dublin last month. The children can't be named due to a Court of Appeal ruling which recently established that a law designed to protect victims of crime under the age of 18 also applies in cases where the child is dead. Detective Sergeant John White reminded the gathered journalists of the relevant section of the Children's Act during the man's brief court appearance this morning. He also told the judge the man made no reply to the 3 murder charges when they were first put to him yesterday afternoon. He was then remanded in custody to appear before Cloverhill District Court on Thursday. Frank Graney at Dunleary District Court in Dublin.
Residents in the Twin Towns are renewing calls on Donegal ETB to allow the community access to a pathway which leads directly to Drumbo Woods. The path was constructed by Donegal ETB, but locals say a gate was erected and it's been locked for over a decade. The route is located in a heavily populated area, with people in the community saying if open, it would provide easier access for the elderly and vulnerable living there. Despite intense correspondence by Donegal County Council with Donegal ETB over the years, there has been no progress to date. Councillor Patrick McGowan says the path was built as part of the planning conditions for Finn Valley College, but protocols have never been agreed to open it.
Part of the plan permission there was to provide a pathway from Drumbo Upper into the heart of the well-known Drumbo Woods. And that, during the construction of the college, that pathway was built. But immediately after it was built and when the college was opened, there was two gates erected on either side of the pathway. And that remains the position to the present day. Now, the County Council and local community groups have been in negotiation with the ETB for all of this time, and despite assurances over many, many years, and including the fact that even the Donegal County Council and Culture actually purpose-built a pathway to link up the pathway that the ETB provided. Even that wasn't enough to get the pathway opened, and there was obviously questions about insurances, liabilities, the maintenance. All of them had been dealt with time after time and went through many a council meeting, and as I say, the local community group and CE schemes and that undertaken to carry out maintenance and inspections carried out. But that has all gone on for over 10 years, and no matter what has happened, there's always been more and more, one excuse after another after another. And effectively, the way it is now, there's about four large housing schemes up there, and an awful lot of established houses have been there for many years. And quite an elderly population would have loved to access the woods there. And they'd only been going down this path, which would be about 100 to 200 metres, rather than have to walk 2 or 3 kilometres in the town to get to the woods.
A Donegal deputy is asking persons with disabilities to share their opinions with him in the lead up to International Day of Persons with Disabilities this Thursday, December the 3rd. Deputy Thomas Pringle believes elected representatives should be creating policies to make the country more accessible, more equal and fair for everyone of all abilities. He's asking people to make their views known.
Well, I'll use them then and making representations to the government to try and make life a bit easier and more difficult for all with disabilities. And hopefully then I'll be able to use their views and comments in my Donegal speeches and workings in the Donegal to actually feed into the work that I do there, so that the opinions can be put across through the government and hopefully get much needed improvements.
How can people get involved and have their opinions voiced or have their say?
Well, I think it's vitally important for everybody to use all the politicians, whatever party they are, and to put the pressure on them. They are leading the issues at the Parliament level so that people with disabilities can be heard, and encourage people to use their voices, their expressions, to make sure that those messages are put across.
Weather now. Tonight will be cold and dry with clear spells and some patches of mist and fog. Frost will develop in many areas with lowest temperatures of 0 to 4 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Professor Sam McConkie says Donegal needs more help to get COVID-19 under control. His comments come as the country prepares to move to level 3 restrictions tomorrow. Well, the Taoiseach just says he would like to see the country stay in level 3 restrictions until a vaccine can be deployed. The Foreign Affairs Minister has hit out at the British government over Brexit negotiations. Talks are resuming today, with fisheries highlighted as one of the main stumbling blocks. And a Letterkenny councillor is urging parents in the Windmillview, Killylaston areas to be vigilant after receiving a number of calls from motorists whose cars had been damaged. Councillor Jerry McManigal says young people have been congregating at a site cleared for social housing, throwing mud and stones at passing cars. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, November the 30th. The death has taken place of George Morrow, formerly of Forecourt, Milford. Funeral service in Milford Presbyterian Church at 12 noon on Wednesday, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Due to current government restrictions, the funeral service and burial will be private to family only. The death has taken place of Delma Doherty, Nae McCrae, 6 Melvin View, Strabane, and formerly of Main Street, Sion Mills. Fiona leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Patricia McElhinney, Hilltown, Glenealy. Committal service tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Mary's Church Graveyard, Bogan, Culdath. Due to HSE and government guidelines, burial is private to family and close friends only. Donations in lieu of flowers to St Mary's Church Bogan, Culdath, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Ian Callaghan, Northtown, Malinhead. His remains are reposing at his sister Kathleen Logan's residence at Urbalira, Malinhead. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Mary's Church, Lagmallen, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, house and wake are strictly private to family only, with funeral open to close friends. And the death has taken place of Margaret Kerr, late of Daisy Hill Park and formerly of Crossconnell, Clonmany. Due to current HSE and government restrictions, mass numbers are limited by government guidelines to 25. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of wish to the Foyle Hospice, 61 Culmore Road, Derry, or care of Bradley and McLaughlin Funeral Directors.